Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, today is a bit of a different trading day as we're not seeing the U.S. equity markets just continue to push higher. We're also seeing a big fade in precious metals. It's really the U.S. dollar that's a standout today. Up 0.3 on the dollar index, which is 97.5 on the dollar index. So dollar getting a little bit of a bounce, hitting some of those assets that are sometimes inversely correlated to the dollar. But one place that I want to start here is with the news out of Johnson & Johnson. Yesterday, later in the day, they announced that they are pausing their vaccine trials. They had some unknown illness, something like that, that crept up in one of the patients. So now it seems like this vaccine, at least for now, is off the table. That needs to, I think, put maybe a little more doubt in people's minds that we even are going to get a vaccine, especially one in the near term. Ed, how important was this news out of Johnson & Johnson to you?
I think it's a big story because we're seeing the second manufacturer have to pause their COVID-19 vaccine trial. And this is, you know, making that race to the vaccine a lot smaller in the U.S. And right now, I think many people are now kind of just remembering that, oh, well, AstraZeneca, they did restart their vaccine trial abroad, but they haven't restarted in the U.S. So now it looks like that the race is down to Pfizer and Moderna. Now, obviously, there's 100 vaccines that are in the works right now, but the ones that I just mentioned are the ones that we have that have the fast track. They're ready. They've been getting billions of dollars to kind of get this these vaccines out and about very quickly once they get the green light. Now it looks like the hopes for a quick vaccine are dwindling. And I think, you know, there's still strong optimism that a vaccine will come out. But the problem is that we're seeing these setbacks, and the one with J&J is really concerning for many people because all the vaccines, they're different. J&J was especially attractive because it's a single dose vaccine. And it's a lot easier to store. And I think what we're seeing now is that you're probably going to have people have to kind of reprice in exactly, you know, when they anticipate a vaccine readily being available in the U.S. Expectations for, you know, a return to pre-pandemic economic activity, you're really going to see that's going to be a big hit on earnings. It's going to be a big hit on the outlook and growth and on the consumer. So I think you're probably going to see that people are going to closely watch to see in the next few days once this is, you know, assessed a little bit better, you know, because right now we still don't know was the patient had that unexplained illness, and was it a placebo patient? So there's still a lot that we don't know. But you know, obviously, with any large trial, you're seeing the appropriate measures taking place and for people's safety. So I think everyone's going to be on edge right now. And if this trial is halted a little bit longer or paused a little bit longer, you know, make sure we're clear between the difference between pause and halt. It's really going to derail when we're going to see this economic activity continue to kind of rebound. And right now, too, when we take a look at what is happening with COVID, it continues to spread. The Northern Hemisphere is not seeing any relief as far as the virus. It's been very resilient in Europe, and I think that's one of the big concerns for many people right now. I think that's what's also, you know, helping you know, provide that move in the dollar. It's a lot because of the weaker euro, because the virus spread is really accelerating there.
Yeah, the second wave is definitely here in the Northern Hemisphere, and we're just early on in fall, really, so who knows what it's going to look like, but definitely a bit disappointing when it comes to those vaccine trials, especially for all those people that are banking so much on a vaccine, which I've been on the record saying that I'm not banking fully on that by any stretch of the imagination. Let's move over to earnings season, as we had JP Morgan produce some earnings that were pretty decent. But we need to look at the big picture in terms of banks and if the banks are on stable footing. What do you think about that there, Ed?
Well, yeah, and the banks, I mean, right now, today, we got JP and also Citigroup. You know, the headline numbers look great because, to no surprise of anyone, trading did well. I think when we take a look, though, a lot of the focus has been with regard to those provisions for loan losses. And right now, you know, that was an eye-dropping number because the prior quarter, you know, the credit losses were around $10.5 billion, and this quarter was only $611 million. But I think what's really overshadowing everything as far as, you know, the earnings is that JP is kind of highlighting that this doesn't reflect a better view of the economy. And I think you're going to see that this the banks are going to be, you know, extremely dependent upon is exactly the fight against COVID. And if businesses continue to see this virus trigger restrictive measures where we have lockdowns in place, businesses go under, the consumer is not going to be strong, and you're going to see that delinquencies are going to go up. And I think that, you know, and until the virus is under control, the banks really won't have that, you know, that green light to just the all clear signal to say that, okay, things are going to continually to steady and improve. So there's a lot of pessimism as far as, you know, the short-term outlook for banks now. It seems that if the virus was under control, if we were just going to have the winter wave to deal with, and then hopefully we'll have vaccines in place and treatments continuing to help people, I think that was kind of what was expected for the banks to see. You know, you're going to see maybe a couple hits here, but right now we're getting that economic activity hit now before, as you mentioned, that winter wave or the colder weather wave. And now that's really going to weigh on the banks, and they're going to post great numbers. It's pretty clear because of the whole trading side of things. So when you take a look at BlackRock, they crushed it. Strong earnings beats, record numbers for assets under management. They have a diverse platform, and you know, it's no surprise why BlackRock is kind of like the top performer for the day. JP, Citigroup, all, you know, kind of under pressure today. And I think you're going to see that is going to be a story that, you know, a lot of the banks, they've started to already rebound, but until we have the virus under control, as far as a more optimism with the outlook, I think you're going to see them struggle.
Now, what's the balance for the markets here? Because you've mentioned the economy quite a bit through all of this, and the economy is directly impacted by shutdowns, by these vaccine trials, and by just general individual confidence to go back out into the economy. However you relate that to the markets, you could argue that the markets are more focused on the stimulus that could be coming, and that can help the markets even when the economy continues to struggle. How do you balance that out when you're looking at market moves?
Well, I think the stimulus is a big part of the equation, and I'm glad you brought it up. So we have to, you know, kind of take a look at where we are right now in the whole stimulus trade. Well, the Fed is, you know, they've done their job, they've done their part, they've clearly stated they can't, you know, take care of any lack of fiscal policy support. And what we're seeing right now is the economy is in desperate need of more stimulus. The supplemental unemployment insurance benefits, those expired in July. The Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses, that's long gone. And the majority of those stimulus checks were given in April and May. So we've been expecting for now a few months, Congress to deliver more stimulus, and partisan politics have played out. And I think it's pretty obvious that we're not going to get something before the election. I would be stunned if we did. I think the president is saying all the right things to kind of remind voters that he has their back and that he's trying to do and get more stimulus than what the Republicans and Democrats are discussing. And I think that's more, he's just posturing there. And there's probably not going to be any stimulus until after the election. And with that, that's why I think I'm a little bit more downbeat on the short-term outlook. that's why I think you just have too many negative drivers right now in place in the very short term. I think, you know, still optimistic longer term. And I think that you're probably still seeing, you know, the stock market's been pretty resilient as they slowly agree to price in a blue wave. And that's completely, I think, still up for grabs. But you're seeing that they're kind of rationalizing, well, a blue wave means $5 trillion of stimulus and spending that's going to, you know, kind of bolster up the economy. And that's why we're seeing the cyclicals kind of perform nicely. And I think, though, in this very, very, you know, next month or two, a lot will be dependent upon that stimulus outcome. And I think that it will probably see little progress until after we're past the election and getting the election results. So that could take some time. So I think that right now you have a lot more headwinds in the short term. And it's going to be hard to be optimistic, I think, when you continue to hear of layoff announcements. And I think that this earnings season is going to be one, unfortunately, full of announcements of job cuts and not just in the airlines, but I think across all sectors. I think you're going to start to see that widely spread across. And that's going to continue to put the pressure on Congress to act.
Yeah, that's the tough part, right? We're stuck here just waiting to see what's actually going to come out of this slow restart. We kind of took the low-hanging fruit when it came to jobs when people started to get back to work, but now we're coming into the second wave, and we'll see what sort of shutdowns or what sort of slowdowns we have in general. Let's wrap it up with a quick comment on the tech sector. Yesterday, tech was the major standout when we saw everything in terms of U.S. markets move higher. But it's a big week for tech this week. We have an Apple event. We have Amazon's Prime Day. That, I think, helped move those tech stocks higher. Even the NASDAQ today is generally higher than the S&P and the Dow. What are you watching for when it comes to this week in terms of tech and major news events?
Well, I'm very curious to see how strong Amazon Prime Day is, and also how the competitors are faring. Because Best Buy, Target, Walmart, they're all having their own equivalent holiday, and we're going to probably see a lot of these sales pull forward. For the holiday season, and this is going to be probably key for Amazon especially. And I think what we're going to see is, you know, what COVID did, and everyone bought everything off of Amazon, but they had logistical problems and they had difficulty fulfilling a lot of these orders, which is why you saw a lot of people go to Walmart and Target and Best Buy. And what we're seeing now is that, you know, this is going to be key for Amazon, because if they're going to crush it in the holiday season and for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, they really need to have a successful Prime Day. So this is going to be key for them. So I'm going to pay close attention to see, you know, I think 220 million is the goal. If they can have a strong result, and if they kind of outperform all their competitors, I think that you're going to see that people are just going to become extremely bullish on Amazon again. Not that they weren't, but even more so. And then with Apple, I think this is a 5G this 5G phone announcement is potentially going to provide us with a multi-year bullish catalyst for Apple. And I think that you know, Monday we saw it attracted that typical buy the rumor flow. So today we're down, and so we're seeing, you know, many kind of say that this is kind of the sell the event type deal. But in the end, I think, you know, everyone knows that, you know, 5G is not, the networks are not going to be ready for these phones. maybe in some of the big cities, you'll be able to take advantage of 5G, but for the most part, it's not readily available, and it won't be, and it will be more of a next year story. But it's still, this is a big event for Apple. And as long as it's not a massive disappointment, I think this is going to be a key moment in the stock. Typically, when you have this is not your typical, you know, annual phone release. This has been one that has been looked upon for quite some time. So iPhone 12, we'll see. Hopefully for Apple, it's a game changer, because it'll be very positive for the semiconductor space and all the other suppliers. So I think it's a big one to follow. This will really help dictate, I think, the trajectory of tech for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, Ed, we will wrap it up there. Sounds like we might be starting to see another shift towards the tech sector. But overall, even though the markets aren't falling today, they are flat, and they did have a couple very good days in a row. So a little bit of a breather was definitely needed. We'll see where the markets go from here. But that vaccine news is one that seems to have an impact on the markets. But again, we just don't know what has long-term impacts on the markets, because there are so many question marks out there. Ed, thanks for your time today. I'll post a link to that Oanda website, and we will chat again next week.
Thank you, Corey. You too.